Jay John of Asian Pop Radio, thank you very much for clicking on another episode of our podcast. If you like what you hear, we hope you can rate and review. Subscribe to us on iTunes, just search for Asian Pop Radio. You can also download our Asian Pop Radio app on both platforms, Android and iOS, to hear Asia-wide hits 24/7. Here's our interview with Leon Marcus. This is the Jeanette and Jay John Show on Asian Pop Radio, and as we do regularly on the Jeanette and Jay John Show, we cross to Singapore to talk to new and talented people and get to know them. And today we're speaking to Leon Marcus. Hi, Leon.
Hi.
What part of Singapore did you grow up in, Leon?
Singapore is a relatively small place, but I grew up in a place called Haogang, which is like a really tight-knit community. Everyone's like really old. Yeah.
You're selling it, Leon.
Yeah, definitely.
They're very old. What are they famous for? Yeah. Being old.
Being old is really it's an old estate with a lot of elderly people living here.
Right.
But I think one of the most amazing things about Haogang is how the people and the community here are very tight-knitted. Everyone's looking out for each other. So it's kind of like the kampong feels.
It's fantastic. And is it north, south, east, west of the island?
I'm actually not too sure because I'm not good with directions. But I think it's at the northeast side of Singapore.
Right.
Yeah.
You just knew what direction it was to Orchard Road.
Yeah, you're right. I only know how to take the MRT.
That's good. Okay. And have you moved around much or have you been in Singapore the whole time?
Well, I grew up mainly in Singapore, but because my mom's a businesswoman, so she tends to travel a lot. So I traveled with her like to many different countries. You know.
Wow. And do you think those experiences have helped influence your work over the years? Like giving you a better idea of the place, of the world more globally?
I think partially, yes. Partially no, because I think my music really comes from like experiences that I've been placed in like situations. So maybe visiting these places could give me like an idea or a sound or like visually what I want for my album or my music. But I think sonically and lyrically, it comes from my own personal experiences.
Fantastic. So tell us, has music always been a passion for you, Leon?
Not really.
Yeah?
I remember growing up wanting to be a scientist. I wanted to be a chemist because I basically really wanted to be like Albert Einstein.
Wow.
But I think, but throughout the years, I think music became an outlet for me to talk about my emotions, because I think growing up in a family which held, I think, values and like the way you behave, really like of a high standard, I wasn't really allowed to express myself much. So I think music kind of opened the gateway to expressing my emotions. I think that was when I was around 12 or 13 when I started to fall in love with music.
Okay. Where were you in the food chain, Leon? Were you the youngest, the oldest?
I was the baby, the infant of the family.
I see. Yeah, the spoiled
youngest.
One.
I'm not spoiled more, but I'm the youngest. The one that doesn't get any food because your siblings always takes the food from you.
You would be surprised how many times we hear that in interviews on Asian Pop Radio.
That's the truth.
So I used to have the opposite, because I was the oldest in the family, so I would take my younger brother's food. You know, I was the privileged one.
Oh,
but see,
cool.
Like young kids, when they're really young, they don't eat anything for some reason. So we'd go to McDonald's and he'd always leave half a cheeseburger, and I always felt that was my bonus.
Well, that's true.
So other than singing, what instruments do you play?
I play the ukulele and keys mostly. I know a little guitar, but I write most of my songs on the ukulele and keys.
Fantastic. It's a crowd favorite, the ukulele, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's really easy to learn, I think, and it's really portable. You can bring it anywhere. So it's kind of like the go-to instruments.
Amazing. And look, I'm always jealous of the kid that can play the guitar or the ukulele, because it's always the instrument that gets pulled out in the middle of a social situation when friends are over. And there's always much respect for the person that can get the party started with a bit of a sing-along, right?
Yeah. Maybe you should try learning a ukulele yourself.
So who are some of your musical influences? Who are the idols out in the world that you really aspire to being like or learn from?
I'm really inspired by powerful women, I think, in media, because I grew up in kind of like a dysfunctional family. So most of the time, my role model is my mother or my sister. So like powerful female characters like Katy Perry, Jessie J. Even I think only recently I got really inspired by Kimbra. I think Kimbra is from Australia.
Yes, yeah,
Kimbra,
very popular.
Yeah, Kimbra and Troye Sivan. Yeah, recently I've been listening to Troye Sivan songs. So really inspired by him.
Yeah, Troye Sivan's got an incredible following these days, and he's been hugely successful, and he's got a good message in his lyrics as well.
Yeah, he's amazing. Like his as a role model. And I'm really proud that there are people out there who actually stand up for what they believe in and promote the message of love and not hate. I think it's really important, especially, I'm not too sure, because in Singapore, there's always a stigma, you know, of being afraid to chase what you really want to do, because it's always about education, doing the right things. So I think with someone like Choi Sivan, it could really push the boundaries for kids and get them to explore, explore more what they love.
And I think if I look back to artists that, you know, even just say 10 years ago and local artists in Australia, even if they had any sort of LGBTI component, like maybe two guys holding hands in a music video, that kind of thing was getting banned from TV, which was ridiculous. He's got some amazing and positive things to say that really support young LGBTI people as well.
I know. It's just the way he portrays the message of LGBT people. Is it offensive, but it's really sweet and really honest. So that's what I really liked about Choi Sivan.
Yeah, I think he's kind of got that everyday Aussie appeal, as well as being, you know, true to himself and letting people know who the real Choi Sivan is. So that, I think that's important in music, isn't it? To really let your real self come out of, the lyrics. Is that right?
Yeah, most definitely. I believe that music should be a tool for people to talk about things that they want to talk about and what they feel strongly about. It should never be like a kind of like an instrument for you to get success or what. It should always be about expressing yourself and making sure that your art is true to who you are.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering, obviously, Choi Sivan being an out gay performer, is there anyone like that in Singapore that's perhaps out there and being open about their sexuality, or is it still a difficult thing for them to do in that area?
I think in Singapore, we are a little more close-minded. So I think we don't have any musicians that are out openly gay. I do know that there are key people in Singapore who do talk about it, but they are not entirely really open about it.
Because
after all, it's Asia and people here are a little more traditional, I would say.
There is some good things happening in Singapore, I guess, in that area. I think like the Pink Dot campaign has done quite well, and so there's some resources opening up there. We believe that your singing coach is a friend of ours, Drew Chen. How did that come about?
Well, I remember, I think a year back or two, I was looking for someone to coach me through, because I was writing a new album and I wanted someone to give opinions on how I should vocalize my album. So I went online and I Googled and I found Drew Chen, you know, emailing him. Facebooking him, actually. So I'm not sure whether he replied me. In the end, he did reply me and we met up. And he taught me a lot of things about how you can take care of a voice, what you should do, and the tricks on singing high notes and being on pitch. So I think Drew did help me a lot in that area. And I remember it was, I think, a few months before I had my EP launch. So that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. If you are looking for someone that can hit those pitches, it's definitely Drew, isn't it?
Yeah, Drew is amazing. He's an amazing singer, an amazing performer, and he's always so laid back and chill.
Yeah,
so
I know. Whatever he's got, I want. Chill.
Yeah.
All right, and let's chat more about that EP. So how long were you working on that?
I've been writing Mannequin for about, I think, since I was 16. So it's actually a compilation of songs that I've written over the years when I started writing at age of 14. So I've been writing since then, and I decided to compile the EP when I was 16, and I wrote a little more for it when I was in the studio. Yeah, that's basically how long it is. It's like a compilation of my teenage years, which is very much angsty. A lot of anger, teen anger. So if you listen to the album, you could see.
What made you angry, Leon?
Well, at the point of time, I was going through a lot. I think I've mentioned, I think I was from a dysfunctional family. And more so, I was also struggling with my identity as a person. I didn't know who I was, and I didn't have anyone to talk to. So that was what was troubling me as a teen. I think a lot of teenagers at that point of time, I was also struggling with that. And being a very intense person myself, I feel like emotions sometimes are like my enemy because I cannot control them. So I decided to write it out or write songs, actually. Yeah, so.
Right. And so how was the EP received? Did you get much airplay locally on radio?
I think because the whole genre of the album isn't much mainstream music, so they didn't have much airtime, but I think on social media, it's doing pretty well. I remember releasing Circles at a point of time. I wasn't anyone, so I decided, okay, I'm going to just put my music out on YouTube and I'm going to see how it progresses. And I remember putting it on YouTube and a local newspaper, this Chinese newspaper called came out. Yeah, it came out and contacted me about it and interviewed me on it. And then I started to tell myself, maybe I should release like the rest of the album, which I did. And I think the last single, Killer Clown, which came out last year, had the biggest impact because I got featured on the magazine and people were talking about it. I was getting people to talk about things that they don't usually talk about. So, yeah.
I guess you were able to get into YouTube at the right time because, you know, over the last 10 years, obviously more and more people have used that as a platform to promote their work. And it's been especially helpful for indie artists or people that sort of are focusing on more niche genres and stuff like that. Now it's incredibly competitive, but I guess when you started getting into it when you were 16, it was still quite a new platform and people were really quite, you know, on the hunt for that kind of stuff, and it would have been a good moment for you to get into it.
Yeah, most definitely. I think YouTube has been like the most amazing gift of social media. I think it connects people, and YouTube is basically also part of the reason why I came to accept myself and found my own identity as a person, as a teenager, because I watched many YouTubers online talking about their lives and how they're struggling and how things would get better. So I think YouTube, it's amazing.
And it's quite admirable that you've been able to get it into your music, because there are obviously people out there that you've also said, you know, experience similar difficulties to you. It's really a special thing that they've got that music and that message in your lyrics to help them get through their difficulties, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
Now, we believe you're on the verge of some new material. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. We're going to I think my team and I came together and we decided that we really wanted to celebrate how well the EP has done. So we decided to repackage a single of our EP, and we're getting a Disco Hughes frontwoman Shirley Veronica to feature on it, and we have this amazing producer which will also by the name of Thieves, which will also be lending his amazing talent to the track. So we're basically remodeling the entire track into something different. And I think I've always been interested in electronic music, and my album, my EP basically, it was partially leaning towards electronic, but I would say the new single coming up, it's a full-on electronic sounding single, which I've always been dying to try, and I'm quite excited for it actually.
They're two pretty big names that you'll be working with as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how me and Sharon Lin got to work together, because I remember when I was performing my EP in Singapore at different bars and cafes, and people always came up to me and told me, "Say, have you heard of this band, Disco Hue? I think you guys share the similar color palette visually. I think you guys would match so well." Yeah, so I was actually writing for my next next song on my album on my record, and I thought about Sharon Lin and wanting her to feature on it, but I'm not sure what work I want her to feature in. And then my team came up to me and, "Hi, do you want to repackage this single?" You know, I was thinking, that would be great. And the first person that came to mind was, "Okay, I need to get Sharon Lin on this." So I remember going on Facebook like a stalking her. I think I have a friend, and like, "Hey, Charlene, I am blah, blah, blah. Could you, do you want to come on my track?" I sent her the original track. She listened to it. She was like, "Oh, that's amazing. I think it's a cool idea. Let's work it together." And yeah. She wrote a new verse. She wrote a new verse, a new melody for her for the second part of the song. I was really thankful that she would even consider working with me.
Great. I guess I can sympathize with the stalker talk, because I think I did that to you last week, Leon.
No.
Any gigs coming up? Like, you got any public performances anytime soon?
We just ended a few gigs, and we're currently in the works for planning for more, but the dates are not confirmed yet, so I'm not too sure when would that be, because my team and my management's handling that. But do just drop it on our social media handles to check out the dates and stuff. But
great.
Yeah, most definitely after the song has been released, we're going to go on a few shows just to promote the song a little.
If you could perform anywhere in the world, where would you choose?
I would definitely choose Australia.
Right answer.
Yeah. Wait. The thing is, I really want to go to Australia, because I want to go into Australia and hunt for Natalie Trent. I'm not sure if you know who she is.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love Natalie Trent. I think she's the most funniest person, like the most humorous person. I remember watching a video of hers, which she made a Christmas card, and she was dancing to a Christmas card. It was an awkward Christmas card, and I think up to now, I think I was so inspired by that. Like when I'm performing on stage and I'm awkward, I always tell people I'm doing the awkward dance, and I'll dance awkwardly on stage. And
wow.
Yeah, I really, really want to meet Natalie Trent, and probably stop twice if I want to, but I'm not sure if he's in Australia.
Yeah, we've got connections there. I might even have his number.
well, that's cool. Could you hit me up?
He actually was performing at Mardi Gras, and we were broadcasting from there in March, and he ended up sitting on the plane next to our IT person on the way back to Melbourne. So yeah, we're trying to work on that collaboration.
He is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tracy Van Man.
That's it. How can our listeners learn more about your work and support you?
Yeah, you can find us on our social media handles, Spotify, iTunes, at Leon Marcus, LeonMarcus.
Excellent. Well, Leon, thank you so much for having a chat to us on Asian Pop Radio today. It's been great getting to know you. And anytime you've got anything new to chat about, I hope you give us a shout out and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, most definitely. I enjoyed my time being here.
If you liked our interview with Leon Marcus, we hope you can share it with your friends and support this awesome talent from Singapore. Do remember to like us on Facebook, fb.com/AsianPopRadio. We're on Twitter at AsianPopRadio. And don't forget, you can subscribe on iTunes, search for Asian Pop Radio, and download our app. It's free via your app store.